Well, let's turn now to a competition that ends this Sunday. You might remember this 1983 top 10 hit by Thomas Dolby. But she blinded me with science. She blinded me with science. Today, in addition to performing and composing, Dolby is professor of music for new media at Johns Hopkins Peabody Institute in Baltimore. And he has these thoughts on this year's Oscar nominees for Best Original Score and the long tradition from which they come.
Hollywood film scoring is an art form that's over a century old. When experimental films were first shown in the late 1800s, audiences were terrified by the spectral nature of the shadowy, flickering faces on the screen. A little soothing music calmed and comforted the crowd, and had the added benefit of drowning out the sound of that noisy, clanking film projector mounted right in the middle of the audience. In 1920, inventor Lee DeForest began to develop a commercially viable method of striping a soundtrack right onto the same film strip as the movie. No one seemed very interested, but then the Warner Brothers used the technology in The Jazz Singer in 1927, and the film was a huge hit, prompting the Hollywood studios to realize that now they would only have to pay the band once instead of every night. Despite that early tactic to screw over us musicians, motion pictures have become home to a succession of wonderful composers and some of the finest instrumental music since the classical era. Early orchestral scores like Max Steiner's King Kong in 1933 favoured Wagner's leitmotif technique, where a tune is assigned to each character, matching every on-screen action with its symphonic counterpart. These days, that's derisively referred to as Mickey Mousing. At the end of the 20th century, film scores tended to move away from this type of direct synchronization. It's no longer cool to tell audiences how to feel. A current A-list composer like Hans Zimmer, who wrote Gladiator and 12 Years a Slave, often sounds as if he's describing the arc and destiny of the characters, telling their backstory rather than enhancing their individual gestures and expressions. John Williams' scores embody all the triumphs and clichés of 20th century film music. This year's Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker sees the recycling of familiar themes. But what's most striking about this series finale is the gorgeous, quieter moments, such as Destiny of a Jedi, into which Williams weaves his longtime favourite Binary Sunset theme. This is Williams' ninth Star Wars score, going right back to the first film in 1977, for which he won the Best Score Oscar. So don't be surprised if he gets the award this year to bookend his remarkable achievements throughout the series, not forgetting the diversity of his other scores like Schindler's List and Harry Potter. When you hire Randy Newman to compose your music, what do you get? Randy Newman music. Melodic, delightful, and warmly human. Randy's been involved in literally hundreds of movie and TV projects and has won two Best Song Oscars. In Marriage Story, the Adam Driver-Scarlett Johansson divorce saga, he once again delivers precisely what we expect from him. And it's pretty soppy and sentimental. Not really my cup of tea, but I've got to hand it to Randy. He's got longevity. I am a fan, however, of Thomas Newman, cousin to Randy, nephew of Lionel, and son of the great mid-century film composer Alfred Newman, collectively the most celebrated family in Oscar history. Thomas, you may recall, wrote The Shawshank Redemption, which is a seminal piece of scoring. This year's nominee, 1917, is a gripping slice of the First World War, And the highlight for me is this magnificent and terrifying sequence in the burning ruins of a cathedral. ...1917 is wall-to-wall music, and overall this is a score that has little light and shade, lacking the feel-good factor of Shawshank. There's plenty to feel good about in Little Women, a charming update of the classic novel with a pretty score by 2018's Oscar winner Alexandre Desplat. He's a quirky and inventive composer, but this is not him at his best. I'm not going to be able to do justice to Hilde Guðnadóttir's last name, but she's part of a new genre of Nordic noir composers, along with last year's winner Ludvig Göransson and the now-deceased Johan Johansson. Her music for Joker features broody, unison symphonic chants, almost like plain song. The cellos and basses often sound like they're being played with a piece of tree bark instead of a bow, but it totally works. Last year, Hilde also scored the remarkable HBO series Chernobyl, which blurs the line between music and sound design. Joker is a startling re-examination of the Batman canon, and Hilde avoids the gothic bravado of her predecessors Danny Elfman and Hans Zimmer. Her raw, unfiltered score points to a future of smaller orchestras and more intimate psychoacoustic soundtracks. So I'm going to give my professorial nods to Joker. Not because it's 20 years since a woman won the Best Score Oscar, but because it reminds us that film music can be so darn weird and wonderful.
That's musician and professor Thomas Dolby on his pick for this year's Oscar for Best Original Score. Our piece was produced by NPR's Tom Cole.